What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them. Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ shot city, six rings. D-Rose, too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty. Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners. We got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth. Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz, joined by my dude Goose, and we're here because we're competitive enough to be here today, and in more ways than one. Go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Follow us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Bulls on Tap, at ontapsportsnet, at Goose on Tap, at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. Go to the YouTube. If you're on Twitter watching us right now, go to the YouTube because that's fucking awesome. And you can help us live our dream of not having to work real jobs if you hit the subscribe button. So that'd be great if you could do that. All right. What's up, Goose? It's been a week, dude. We haven't seen each other in a week.
It's been a week. I haven't seen your face. Some good things have happened. Some bad things have happened. But as you pointed out before we started the show, the Bulls have clinched a play-in spot.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah, we did. We were 36-40. And we are heading to the postseason,
Does that fill you with excitement?
Yeah, yeah, it does. I am super excited that the Chicago Bulls have made the play in. It shows that they
the last regime we were really good at getting kicked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
With the new regime, it seems like we're really good at making the play in.
Yeah, we've done it twice now. So, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, we've done it. It's been out for 2 years, and we made it both fucking times. Or has it been 3 years that it's been out?
I think it's been three.
Has it been three? Okay, so we've been in it twice out of the 3 years. And say, listen, man, we know what this is. We know what it's all about. This is Jerry Reinsdorf just competitive enough bullshit. And it's just ridiculous. I'll tell you something right now. By not picking, I'm really hoping that this lane that they're picking is showing us that they're going to sell off guys like Zach and DeMar and, you know, which they probably won't, and then try to get rid of Vooch somehow. If you watch, I was talking to you about this before the show started. If you watch the McDonald's All-American game last night, you know that the 2025 NBA draft has some fucking dogs in it. I think that there is not a better player in the 2024 draft than there is in the 2025 draft. 2025's got some players in it that can be potential franchise-altering players. And, you know, who's to say 2024 doesn't have that? There's a couple guys there that could flourish into something, but this middle of the pack bullshit that the Bulls are running right now, when you have this level of talent getting ready to be up here in a year to 2 years, is pretty fucking stupid to me. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think that the play-in shit is great for they must have some kickers on their contracts, Goose. They got to get in the postseason. They get paid for it. I guarantee it.
I just don't.
I'm talking the front office, not the players.
Oh no, I mean I don't even really want to think about the front office. I mean, what is their incentive? Keeping their job, I guess, is their incentive to do what Jerry wants. And I don't know. Maybe it's not what Jerry wants. Maybe this is AKA's actual vision of what success is. He did aggressively go all in. I know Michael and Jerry weren't sitting there telling him what deals to make. So at a certain point, we can only blame ownership so far. Are they content being mediocre? Yes. If AK built a legitimately competitive roster, would they be allowed to go into the luxury tax? We don't know because we haven't built a legitimately competitive roster despite going all in around Zach LaVine, who is now a player on a max contract that you almost have to give away to get off of. So Given that aspect of the outlook heading into the offseason, despite Lonzo Ball coming back, you have to hope that Zach's discomfort, his unwillingness to want to be here anymore, and their mutual willingness to part ways leads to essentially a forced rebuild. In a sense, the Bulls do own their pick in 2025, top 10 protected. The following years, it goes down to a top 8 protection that is owed to San Antonio from the DeMar trade. Ironically, as I believe we touched on last week when we talked, DeMar re-signing somewhat has the keys to screw the Bulls out of the draft pick that they sent for him. Which, when the Bulls traded for him and they gave him the extension that they gave him, you have to think they were comfortable offering the pick that they did because they assumed that their window with him, with Vooch, with a competitive roster that it was supposed to be that we saw in that first 35 games with Zoe, that window would be ending now. And that there would have to be a decision made on retool, rebuild. What are we doing with this roster going forward? And unfortunately, we're staring it right down the barrel, and all signs kind of point to bringing DeMar back just because we're not led to expect anything else. Continuity has been the only message, and we haven't made a damn trade at the deadline since Vooch. So, you know,
it's bad.
It's bad. I mean,
it's a bad situation to be in because you're just competitive enough. Wow. I feel like a movie that says the title in the movie. You know what I'm saying? That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah,
just competitive enough to get into the play-in and to, you know, like just fall out of the protections that you have on these fucking picks. And it really blows, man. It's a tough pill to swallow because you're coming up. Again, we know what's going to happen here. I put on Twitter for the Bulls on Tap Twitter page, if anybody follows that or not. Shameless plug here. If you're watching on Twitter, go over to the Bulls on Tap Twitter page. Hit the follow button. We're live on that. So on the page you're on, just follow it. Anyway, you know, like I feel like at this point now, if you're not willing to, like you said, re-sign DeMar, do you think that's a possibility? Because when I put this Twitter post up about what's the best case scenario if the Bulls get it like into the post, like since they've clinched, what is the best case scenario out of all of this? And don't say win a championship because we know that's not realistic.
I mean, I think
so. Like a dog fight where Kobe and Io get
like best case scenario, you make it to the first round. And you let Boston shellack you, like,
right?
I mean, and as a franchise, that can't be your ideal outcome for the end of a season. It's like maybe we get into the first round, we crawl in there, and then we let Boston send us home in 4 or 5 games. Maybe squeeze out one sympathy game to feel good about ourselves, and you know, kind of write that home. But that should not be your goal, not as the Chicago Bulls, like. And that's what hurts, and we've touched on this, is a legacy team. Like, there is a certain weight that comes with putting on that jersey, and that weight has faded.
It's only in our own minds now. We are, like, you remember last week when I went off on, like, fucking crazy tangents about fans getting mad at us, more specifically me, for voicing my displeasure with the franchise. What you said carries so much weight into that.
Yeah.
I look at this like when I was coming up, the Bulls were the most recognizable fucking franchise in the world. It does not care.
You're supposed to be synonymous with Boston and LA. Those are the names that you're supposed to be with. Obviously, the Knicks are the anomaly that has just sucked as an organization, but because of being New York and being the Knicks and having the Garden, their lure has lived on forever. But even at this point, despite their lack of winning, obviously they're good now, so it's easier to talk about them. They have a contender caliber team, a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. But that hasn't been the case the last decade. But the Knicks still have more notoriety and probably more star pull than the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, probably. Not probably, absolutely. We've seen it.
At this moment in time right now, 2-3 years ago, it might have been a debate. Right now, it is not a debate.
Right. You know, it's funny you brought up the Knicks because I do want to ask you a question. I don't know. I think, was it Shaq? Somebody. It might have been Shaq. He said that if the Knicks and the Magic run into each other in the playoffs, that the Magic sweep the Knicks. What do you think about that? I know we're talking Bulls, but like, I want to talk about that too, because I'm serious. Like, that was, it made me think. I was like, gosh, I'm like, damn, no way Jalen Brunson's getting swept, right? He's going to steal one.
Yeah, right? The Nova boys are not getting swept. They've got winning in their pedigree. They're stealing at least one game, especially against the fucking Magic.
But are you going to take the, are you going to take the Magic in a 7-game series?
See, that's what's tough about the Knicks. As much as I just so confidently spit out the fact that they are a contending level team, are they going to be gassed? Like,
oh, it's Tibbs. You have to factor for that. It's literally death taxes. Tibbs runs his starting lineup into the ground before the playoffs.
Says the guys are doing a show for the team with the player with the most minutes in the league right now, DeMar DeRozan at 35 fucking years old. But
yeah, it's very true. But we're not going anywhere. Still, we know
still,
we're not.
Still not a wrong statement. Death taxes and Tibbs overplaying people. In a 7-game series, I think it very much changes for the Knicks. They go in every night playing like it's a championship game, championship mentality, balls to the wall, all in. In a 7-game series, teams get to plan for that. It's just so much different. And would I confidently say I think the Magic could beat the Knicks in a 7-game series? No. But would I be surprised by it? I wouldn't, neither. No, I wouldn't be surprised by that either.
Yeah, it's
a conflicting topic when it comes to the Knicks, because I think they're good. They're obviously better than the Bulls, but do I think
how sick does it make you to bring up that the Knicks, one of the hottest teams in the NBA, are going to play a very competitive series against the team that we shipped picks to and young talent to?
You know, Buzz, I think that topic is why we switched to talking weekly, because the amount of times that we mentioned the Magic passing us in such a short window is why we only talk once a week now. Because that reality is what makes our situation so damn painful.
It's true.
We traded for the great rim presenter in Vucevic, have carried a team to actual playoff sustainability, and they're young as shit, so it's going to be around forever, and they can only get better. And for us, we can only tear down to get better again. So, you know.
Talk to me about Milwaukee. What do you think their problem is, man?
I think when you have a winning season and you just go fire a coach, whether he's the greatest coach in the world or not.
Or a rookie head coach, and we still don't know why he was really fired.
Obviously, there's that whole FBI kind of weird stuff behind the scenes that could have happened with a grandchild that they were watching. A lot of weird speculation on the Adrian Griffin stuff. But
I did not know that, and I apologize. I want to talk about it. Then we can get sued for defamation. I can have it. I'm not going to have it here. Can that actually happen? I wonder if it could.
I don't think it could. We're not stating anything as fact. We're saying that there's allegations out there that a child may have died in the presence of him.
That's what happened?
That is what allegedly has happened.
I'm usually on top of NBA everything, dude. I did not know that.
The cause of the child passing away, but they were watching one of their grandchildren or something, and the child, something happened.
Oh, he might have stepped away, huh? But why would they say he fired him then? Anyway, they fired that guy. He was 30-13.
They screwed him. And with the talent you had on that roster, you would have been better keeping him as the face and letting the players run that ship the rest of the season, because it was working. And instead, you went and paid a hefty, hefty price to bring in a big name who hasn't done anything. And if anything, has probably ruffled feathers in the wrong way in that situation. Because they're looking at him like he's just a name. They're like, you didn't win a championship for us.
Doc Rivers is so over, dude. He is so, like, I'm not saying he's not a smart basketball mind. He's got more money than I do. He knows what he's doing in life. Don't get me wrong. But the one of the most overrated coaches. I would have won with Rondo, who just retired, by the way. Chicago Bulls great Rajon Rondo announced his retirement from basketball.
Very close to the end of the season announcement that he retired. Like, oh wait, you didn't get picked up by a playoff team to make one last run, and now we're just gonna be like, bye,
we'll see you later. Yep. But Doc Rivers led Rondo, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. I guess I'll throw big Kendrick Perkins in there because he got a ring in 08. That was what he did. But he had Rajon Rondo is a Hall of Famer. Would you agree with that statement?
If he's not, there's a problem.
He's got to be a Hall of Famer, dude. He's one of the best point guards I ever watched play the game. I can't stand his ass from Kentucky. I can't stand Kentucky. But he
well, and that's the other thing that we have to remember is it is the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not just the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. So you've got to put his entire basketball career together.
I definitely think he is.
I think he is. And now that he's officially retired, I'd like to see the Bulls hire him as a coach. Just
sure. Hey, I remember, like, that's a fun trip down memory lane for people who are new into the Bulls fandom. And we had that, like, weird time with Jimmy Butler is when Rondo was here. The effort that you got out of the younger players on that team was pretty wild. And it seems like if you go back and watch film, they responded to him a lot.
They all looked up to him. You had Jimmy and Wade try to call out the team, and Rondo go out and be like, no, it's not the young guys. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You two morons thought you could actually fucking play together and coexist, and it's not going to happen because neither of you shoot threes, and that's the way the league's trending.
Yeah, he hit him with the my vets would never point the fingers.
Yeah, the my vets. Yeah, that's right. My vets. That's fucked, man. Wow. Dude, it has been just such a lifetime. I was just talking about 15 years since, like, Rose got hurt, 14 years, you know, like.
It's crazy. Time goes by so quick.
Dude, it really does. It's so wild. Like, we've been through, like, we've been rebuilding since that really happened to try to get competitive again and then go. I mean, it is just so insane, the suckage that has taken place since that happened.
We took on a rebuild to get back to being competitive and somehow have ended up like a tier or two below the level of competitive that we were before, which wasn't even competitive to begin with outside of healthy Rose years. So, like, I don't know. The ship has to be righted. It's clear. Billy's probably not going anywhere, and I'm all right with that. Acme's not going anywhere. I don't know if I'm all right with that, but given how long of a tenure front offices tend to get in this town, Jerry's going to let him ride. So we shall see. We've got 6 games left in the season. Bulls are coming off probably one of their best wins against Minnesota, where they shot lights out from 3. Caruso continues to have these games where he has 5, 6, 7 made threes. And it's just like, you know, I'm glad we kept you because we're probably not even looking at the play-in without you. But for that exact reason, I'm also mad that we didn't ship you off to the highest bidder, because now I have to talk about a play-in and a lack of direction and not getting top dollar for somebody who's having a career year shooting from the field. Obviously, his defensive prowess has always been there. But
he's an all-defender again, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So
no doubt about it. You have 2 teams here in Orlando and the Knicks that we just talked about prior that are jockeying for position along with that 6th seed Indiana Pacers. Orlando and the Knicks are at 44 wins. Cleveland's at 46. I don't foresee these guys, unless Milwaukee really fucks this up over the last 5 to 6 for them. I don't think they're going to catch Milwaukee. Obviously Boston's not being caught. They're going to have 60 something wins. The Bulls schedule is 3 games against New York ends this season. And you have them jockeying for position. Okay? Like, because they're not too far gone from that 3rd seed, Goose. So, like, they're jockeying. Then you have Orlando in there. And they're in the same boat. They're in the same boat. They want to stay in that fucking top 6. You know what I'm saying? So then you also have Detroit and Washington, which are the 2 of the worst teams in the league.
What a weird end of the season.
It is such a weird end of the season.
Play the Knicks 3 times in the last 6 games.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, absolutely that's wild. That's like primetime basketball. And had the Bulls actually been
could you imagine if the Bulls were good
this season? Yeah, no, if they were actually in the middle of that 6 kind of race.
That'd be fun as fuck.
That would be one hell of an end of the season. Instead, we dropped a game to the team that's right behind us in the play-in.
And the last time they saw Washington, they lost to him too, Goose. So I shouldn't even say that's an easy walk in the park, because it's not.
No. I mean, and granted, I don't think the Bulls can really do much for themselves in terms of seeding, except for keeping Atlanta behind them.
Yeah, Bulls can't do shit. They've already clinched. They're in. They're Brooklyn. Brooklyn's only hope is that or Atlanta loses out and they win out.
Okay. So for the Bulls, the only thing you're doing is trying to win enough games to stay ninth and not fall to 10th, so you get home court advantage for that.
Right. Essentially, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Okay. And for the most part, hopefully, that should be a lock. But you are playing the Knicks three times, and they're probably not going to be resting players, as you pointed out, because they are jockeying for position, and Tibbs doesn't rest players.
Well, they're also on they're on a fucking three-game losing streak right now, too. We got to build some momentum back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Tibbs isn't the kind of guy that's going to be like, get some rest, and we'll worry about momentum when the real shit starts. So I don't expect the Knicks to be resting players, which gives the Bulls three tough games. Obviously, that Detroit and the Washington game should be easy, but this team has proven, not only this year, but just in general, that the games that you're supposed to win are not gimmies. So I don't really know what to expect. I think the Knicks are going to sweep us, though.
Oh, yeah, I think the Knicks beat the fucking brakes off of us.
We are going to be the Knicks tune-up. Tibbs is going to be like, see red, motherfucker. See red.
Exactly. Exactly. Goose, I don't have a lot more because we've talked about a lot of this, but I mean, we've got to break down some new things. The names that I wanted to mention real quick, it was Dylan Harper, Cooper Flagg, Ian Jackson, if people get the chance to check these names out that I'm throwing out there right now. This is from the McDonald's All-American game. If you get a chance to watch those highlights, you'll see what I was kind of talking about. You have a lot of players over there that I think that could be good. There's a kid named Boogie Fland who is going to – I'm not going to lie to you, I have not heard of him. He's going to Kentucky, but he played a very good game, hit three of six of his threes. He was really, really good. So I just want to throw that out there. Check that out because I am right. They should tank and get into that goddamn draft. NBA back related. Did you watch the near quadruple double of Victor Wembanyama against Nikola Jokic last night? Were you able to catch any of the highlights of that or anything?
I've caught some highlights, but I'd be lying to tell you that I watched the game. I have been shopping for a new truck pretty aggressively the last few days, so I've been a little distracted in terms of my basketball viewing. But I did check out the highlights, and it is just nuts. What's even more nuts is that the Bulls would rather strive for continuity than try to land a prospect.
Try to land a transcendent talent because you could do that. You know, you could find – I mean, there's a – Matas Bezelis is coming out. He's from Chicago. He's playing for the Ignite right now in the G League.
Did you see that this is the last year that the Ignite are going to be a thing?
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
I thought it was a cool avenue for those kids. You know what, dude? Honestly, why don't you let them play as often as the other fucking G League teams and go rent yourself out a fucking home stadium like in Orlando or something where you know people will go and check out rising talent? Why don't you do that?
No, I mean, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Why do you need to get rid of this program? Like, integrate it into your G League to make your G League more exciting to watch. Fuck it. Let the kids enter a portal like they do in college, Goose. Let them go to different G League teams if they want to.
I think with the NCAA starting to allow money, I think that's what's putting...
That's 100% what it is all these kids are going to go get NIL deals and get fucking paid. I mean, hey, I'm not mad at them. Go make your motherfucking money.
Exactly. In terms of that aspect of it, I'm happy to see it. But to see the league's farm system essentially
just die, get
kiboshed because of that, because of the opportunities that are now going to be in college basketball that weren't there, that kind of made the G League a viable option to just go be a pro, focus on being a pro, learn what it means to be a pro, and leave all the school stuff on the side.
Could you not get private
deals enough that don't need that backup plan? What was that?
Could you not get private deals, Goose, in the G League? Is there a rule behind that I don't know about? I mean, because I don't know all the rules. I'm wondering.
I don't know when it's one team that has the prospects that there's really a market for, like, competitive bidding. You know, colleges now are going to be like, hey, well, we'll give you this much.
True. When you go to a different college, I guess you're getting all the amenities of local business and shit like that, huh? I guess I didn't think about it like that.
And you might not be able – I don't know how much control of your likeness you have when you go to the Ignite. I don't know.
Because it's NBA related or whatever?
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, we'd have to pull up a pretty deep rule book to really break down.
I am curious, though.
No, I mean, I just think it sucks because at one point in time, it would be nice, you know, in the next couple of years to be able to go to a Bulls G League game and not just feel like I'm going to watch Marko Simonovic have a 20-point double-double before he goes back to Europe and never plays in the NBA.
You have any fucking people.
Which I do want to point out, one of our followers, Cash Money, asked me one, if we have a Discord. I don't believe we do. Maybe we should get on that.
We could make a Discord, dude. We should do that.
We should. So, one, thank you for the idea. And two, I just wanted to shout him out. We were talking shit about Marko in my messages the last time that we had talked when he asked about the Discord. Yeah. And he said we should have drafted Isaiah Joe in 2020. So kudos to you, because that would have been a fucking brilliant decision. We could really use Isaiah Joe right now.
Watching Marko Simonovic in person, and you know how like it gets online, and I people are all, we're all analysts.
Adam Asanaga is going to be a beast too.
Who was?
Adam Asanaga.
Adam Asanaga from UConn. Yeah. 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 I know. I've heard all about it. He's going to be this 6'9 center who can't fucking shoot. He's going to be really great in the league.
Round two, baby. I'm ready.
It's so wild to me. Like the whole, and even the Zach Edey shit right now. Like, I like Zach Edey. Don't get me wrong. He's a great college basketball player, but the kid can't fucking shoot, dude. And it's like a weak back to the basket game. It doesn't work in the NBA. It doesn't work anymore.
You can't stay in college long enough to where you are just older, bigger, stronger, and better than everybody, and then be like, I'm going to the NBA.
Right. Yeah. We're not fucking fooled, man. You know, I mean, I want, hey.
Some team is going to be fooled. Somebody's going to take him first round and be very surprised.
I'd be shocked if he went in the first round. I'd be shocked.
Gilbert Arenas was talking about being a lottery pick on the podcast the other day.
Gilbert Arenas is on drugs.
Probably.
A lot of them. And not green. Shit that fuck. He says the most outlandish shit. But hey, I'll tell you what. He made himself fucking relevant again. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. I mean, hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. He's out there fucking hustling. He's like, literally, he's everywhere. I see his comments from him on like Legion Hoops and all those, you know, those basketball head pages.
No matter where you go, you're clicking through your Snapchat, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you call it. Gil's popping up.
Do you think he's a lottery pick?
No. Do I think that some team might be stupid enough to convince themselves of it? Sure.
Fuck, man. Yeah, no, I don't know.
But I hope not.
Well, for him, I mean, what, you know, I just 20 years ago, he would have bet. Maybe he would have bet. Maybe 25 years ago. No. 20 years ago was 2004. It was still fucking dot. Like, you know, you had Shaq around still, Yao Ming. You know, you had a lot of deep.
I think you're at that point, you're only a couple years removed from Anthony Bennett going number one.
What year was that? 2012, I think. Anthony Bennett?
I think so.
Oh my goodness, man. That kid, poor kid, dude. UNLV, he was a beast, too. He was a dog. And you thought it would translate because he could shoot, too. You know, he could shoot a little bit.
Even look at fucking James Wiseman. He's bouncing team to team, really can't get a, you know, full foot in the door, and he went number two in a row.
He had a great dunk the other night, though.
That still blows my mind that Golden State blew that so bad.
Who should they have taken? Was it LaMelo?
LaMelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Edwards went first.
Oh, yeah, right. Anthony Edwards, Wiseman, LaMelo, Patrick Williams. Fuck! Oh, wow. Ooh, I hated it. All right, I got nothing else after that. I don't give a fuck anymore.
You got did you just get reminded that Patrick Williams is on our basketball team?
Yeah, I totally – oh, my God.
That is what's messed up, is this is dude's contract year. He's our highest draft pick since Derrick Rose, and – I don't even remember that he's on the team because he's injured and he's not playing. And it's like, I don't really notice anything. Javonte Green's back, though.
I mean, it just makes all the sense, man.
You should be replaced by a guy who was out of the league all year and now is healthy and was signed to a 10-day and now signed to a contract. And don't need for Patrick Williams.
Wait to get off of this and do what I always do and rebuild the team by fucking starting to trade Patrick Williams first.
That's right. Last week it was Jalen Green that you turned the trades off to acquire?
Yes, I did. I have since kiboshed that franchise and started a new one like I always do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So my new franchise, I don't have a star right now. My starting backcourt is Coby White and Ayo Dosunmu.
Nothing wrong with that.
I've got Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin's my four.
I don't want to see that.
Mortiz Wagner is my five.
We went over this, Moritz.
Whatever. And I think I signed Paul George in free agency to be my three. So okay. I don't like how that team just came off to me. So I'm going to restart that when I get
off. I mean, Kobe, IO, Paul George at 30, whatever.
Yeah. Well, he was the only thing available in free agency.
Okay. I mean, it would be the first 3-and-D wing the Bulls have had since Jimmy Butler and Luol Deng. So that's
right. I'm just – so basically what I did was, dude, is I built a team that was just competitive enough.
Wow. You followed the Acme model. How did you still lead the league in attendance?
I'm poisoned by Reinsdorf is what it is. Did you
make Jerry a bunch of money?
I made Jerry a bunch of fucking money. That's what
wow.
I did.
Wow.
Maybe yeah, even though Jerry's name in the game is Eugene Pettit.
Maybe that's foreshadowing. Maybe the Bulls will sell.
One can only hope, dude. You got any closing words before we get out of here?
I don't know. Last six games, let's not get swept by the Knicks, because losing to Tibbs and the team that used to want to be us and now we want to be them never feels good. I don't like dealing with Knicks fans. I've talked way too much shit over the last several years of doing this show to deal with that. So let's at least be competitive against the Knicks. And I guess I don't really care if you drop the games to Detroit and Washington, because they're irrelevant and we're going to be irrelevant in a couple of weeks. So let's make this fun. Well, once we get to the play-in, I will do my best to flip that, you know, meathead switch that we're going to win it all and we're going to do it because we get to leave this season behind. But still very much a kind of just
doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom, man. Hey, we're sorry for being negative, but we only do it once a week now, so you can't be too mad at us. Please go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. In the beginning of the episode, I told you where to follow us on socials. Go to the YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube so we can become rich and quit our day jobs. That would be fantastic, so you need to really, really look into doing that for us, okay? We'll be back next Wednesday. The Bulls play next Wednesday? They don't. So we'll have another night of uninterrupted and don't have to go after the game. We just get to shoot the shit about basketball and talk.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, so we're going to be coming off of Knicks, Orlando, and another Knicks game. So three games will be played while we're gone. The Knicks, Orlando, and the Knicks.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go 0-3.
Yeah, we're going to recap that next Wednesday. We love you all. It's been about a half hour. We're getting out of here. Let's go, Bulls. Well, Blues Bowl.